Well, thank you, councillors. So because this is the first council meeting, I'll be opening the meeting, and then first item of business will be the elections for chair and deputy chair. But before I just get into that formalities, I'd just like to congratulate everyone for their appointment at Rouse. Whilst it's a shorter term this year, I hope everyone really enjoys the time here at Rouse. We have a number of important issues to be working through over this term. So again, on behalf of myself and staff, congratulations. And I will kick off with the first item of business, which is the election of chair and deputy chair. Could I please have a mover and a seconder?
Seconded.
So, Councillor Cadwalder and Councillor Robb. Okay, I've received one nomination for chair at the moment. Is there any other nominations for chair?
No.
So, based on that, it's unopposed. Congratulations, Councillor Robb Musto, as chair. I also have one nomination for deputy chair. So, congratulations, Councillor Sharon Cadwalder. That's my small part finished now. And the chair will now take
over. You look comfortable there. Do you want to keep going?
The most nervous I am for any council meetings, the elections of the chair.
Just want to move down, give yourself a bit of room. Do you want a bit of spacing? Up to you. Ooh. Well, councillors, thank you. I'll take it that no other nominations. It shows a bit of confidence in me, and I really thank you for that. Being a new council, I think a few of us will be on learning curve, and even some of the existing councillors that have returned, there's a lot ahead of us over the next 2 years and 9 months, and I look very forward to working with you as a team. I think we've got a good representation of our councils here. We'll get the meeting underway with acknowledgement of country. Council would like to show its respect and acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land, of elders past, present and emerging, on which this meeting takes place. No apologies, but do we have any leave of absence requests? No? Confirmation of the minutes of the previous meeting on the 20th of October. Could I get a move, please? Councillor Humphreys. Is there any business arising out of that? I think we need to, when we do our code of meeting practice, we need to get a section for that in. No business arising. I'll put that motion in. All those in favour? Carried. Unanimous. Disclosure of interest. Has any councillor got any disclosure of interest? Or Mr. General Manager, have you received any?
I've received the bills.
I do have one.
You have?
Do we stand up here or do we speak?
We stay seated.
So my disclosure of interest is relating to the Dunoon Dam matter. There is a current legal matter that I'm involved with Rouse. And it relates directly to the cultural heritage report. It's a non-pecuniary, and I don't think it's significant, so I'm staying in the chamber here for it. And the resolution of that matter may decide that kind of conflict anyway. So...
Yeah. Another disclosure. Councillors, we now go to page 13 for the General Manager's reports. First item there is a recommendation for the nominations for primary alternative member of the Audit, Risk and Improvement Committee be sought from councillors. We have, Mr. General Manager, do you run this like you did before, or are you just going to go through the chair?
Just go through the chair.
Okay, thank you. How many nominations?
Chair, I've received one nomination to date for the primary, which is Councillor Bigrow.
Is there any other nominations? I'll put that motion that Bigrow be accepted as that decision. Those in favour? Gary, congratulations.
Thank you.
Councillor Robb?
that we have a mover and second.
I'm sorry, I needed a mover and a second. Councillor Gordon, Councillor Humphrey, my apologies. Now I'll put that motion.
Carried.
Thank you. Page 18. Affiliation Action Plan Advisory Group. We have a recommendation there on page 18. Move it to that, please.
Enjoy.
And seconder, Councillor Rob. Have any?
So, Chair, I've received one nomination for Chair of the Day, which is Councillor Najai.
One nomination, Councillor Joy. Any other nominations?
I was going to ask just about the alternate spot. So if there's no one else, I'm happy to nominate for alternate on that if it's required.
So if Councillor Najai is successful as Chair, there's an alternative position that I've received no nominations for.
Yeah, so I'll nominate for alternate.
Given here?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So we are doing both positions. We have a nomination for the Chair and a nomination for alternative. No other nominations? Put that motion in. All those in favour, congratulations. Councillor Joy and Councillor Rock.
Thank you, Councillors.
Well done.
A little bit of catch up, sorry. Yeah. We're on page 49, Councillors. This is a quarter budget review statement for the quarter ending December the 31st. Could I get a mover, please?
Sorry, I'm not on. Oh, page 49.
Yeah, 49.
A second.
Yep.
The Brown, is your speech?
No, that was just me.
Councillor Humphrey, is your seconder?
Just a couple of comments. Page 51. I'm sure the Korokai community will be very keen to see that work that's going to be done in that riparian zone. I had a question to ask, I guess a comment also on 53, where we have employment of a weed by a biosecurity officer, 100% funded through grants. That's a really good outcome. And a question about the timeline on page 64 about the consultation that we're having, or the strategy that we're having at the moment, that now that the with regard to the nightcap treatment plant solids not being able to go to the this place at the Lismore City Council's. So where is it there? Just forgot my glasses and I'm just struggling a bit.
Hey, solid.
Yes.
Do you want to comment on the
agenda? I can see my question mark there, but I can't see the little writing. Yes, please. Thank you.
So, sorry, I had a question, if I could.
We've just got one going.
Sorry.
Yep.
So I'll have Adam just to be able to provide an overview of where we're at in terms of that.
Sure. So, good Chair. So thanks for the question there. So essentially what's happened, our current disposal opportunity at Three Train Road in Lismore has basically come to an end. So we need to find an alternate solution to deal with those waste solids. It's quite tricky the way the classification is done on that material. So we're trying to find an alternate site as opposed to taking it to landfill. So those investigations are currently continuing. So as soon as we have more information, we can come back to Council on that. No problems.
Councillor Brown, you had a question?
Oh, yes, it was around, it's from page 55, the comment around reduction in funding from the state government. I'm just wondering, what are we expecting perhaps going forward on that? I think it would be alarming to most farmers in this district battling weeds and anyone dealing with weeds to think that at this time the state's reducing funding. And I'm wondering too what... I know that you're in constant discussions with various state members, and I'm just wondering if this factor has been brought up with them.
Maybe a letter.
So do we need a dot point to actually take some action?
Maybe an amendment? Did I move that as an amendment? I've already moved the motion.
Yep.
Yeah,
well, that is an amendment.
Add to your motion.
Okay. I'm sure that second thank you.
Just to be able to provide some background on that one. So my understanding is the component that's been pulled out was the community engagement aspect. There was a reduction in funding because with the COVID restrictions, there has been a reduction in terms of the ability for staff to do that engagement. But we have not raised that for our local member yet, or the member in terms of DPI. Currently, it's my understanding is it's across all the WAP programs within the state because it has the WAP's broken up with on ground works as well as engagement activities in that, and with the things like shows and the reduction of that, that's been the reasons why or the justification I've been told why there's been a reduction.
Okay.
I've got a question. Other councils will be aware where we've been, impacted by some changes by the state government in relation to what we are allowed to charge, what items we're allowed to charge fees and services for. Is that something that's also Rouse is impacted by?
I'm not aware.
I'll send you a question. Yeah.
So in terms of Rouse ability, a lot of our revenue is actually generated through the constituent councils. We don't actually have separate fees and charges as such to them. The fees and charges that we have are typically for our retail water customers or the commercial WAP that we own and operate, not like that you traditionally have within your general purpose council. We still have other fees and charges like photocopying, gippers, et cetera, et cetera, but not to the extent that a general purpose council has.
Thank you.
Any other speakers? Councillor, would you like to write a reply?
No. Okay.
Have we picked up that amendment to...
Oh, okay. Have you got a bit of wording for that?
So I'm just waiting for...
Have we got a point two on that, councillors?
Just the point two for the letter. Yes.
Waiting for that.
So just...
Councillor, make representation to... In its regular meetings with state members, the council update them on the weed funding situation and the obvious pressing need for more money. I guess it's always there.
We're not going to get that up on the screen.
Make sure.
We're just trying to bring that wording up onto the screen if possible.
Perhaps, Mr. Rudd, if that funding you mentioned was taken away during COVID, that it's reinstated.
We can move that conversation.
Concerns. I think we should say something about the concerns that we have. Because of the lack of manage the weights. Concerns about the changing funding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Funding and potential changes.
Yep, that's almost there. And the impact that it will have on them. Yep, that's it.
That looks good.
Happy with that,
right? Yes, I'm happy.
Happy with it?
Yes. Can I just say a word on that? I think our state members get representations. We know they do every day on so many subjects. I don't think weeds features that highly, perhaps, in that discourse, but weeds are such a problem, we know, in this area.
No, that's important, is it?
And are impacting on our environment in such a way. So it's good, I think, for those who are able to talk weeds to MPs, talk weeds.
Yeah.
Councillor Humphreys is second to you.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Any other speakers? Put that motion and all those in favour. I took that as your right of reply anyway.
Thanks.
We're on page 74, is that correct? Retail water.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's well enough. Thank you, Councillor. Seconder. Councillor Cadwallader.
Look, I think all things considered, the amount overall is not too bad. We're tracking fairly well, I think.
Mm.
So the policy covers it all well, and it's quite okay.
Can I ask a question?
Sorry. Oh, you're just a second.
New councillor, so I'm just trying to, I just want to know for future reference. So this policy, is this a, when a leak is detected, we, if it's not their fault, we give them a percentage discount type policy? Is that how that works?
General manager.
So I'll just go for a guide because there's actually a couple of criteria in terms of policy.
Thank you, Councillor. The retail assistance, financial assistance is a 356 financial assistance given by council consistent with the policy whereby we assist our retail users where they have an undetectable leak that causes a large bill. Our network is significantly different to normal style reticulation ones, and some of our those leaks can be difficult to find and travel a long way. So there's a formula within the policy that provides some financial assistance, not writing off the fee at all. That we have at the moment, it's capped by a budget allocation per annum of $25,000, and always reported to council.
Thank you.
Is the question?
I almost have a question to you, Mr. Chair. We see that on the second occasion there, J.A. Saffin, undetected, broke a pipe located 100 mil from the water meter to the front gate. I'd imagine 3,240 with an allocation of financial assistance of 1,443. How do you determine the 1,443 is a matter of interest?
Thank you, Councillor. In the policy is a formula that's got a number of tenets to the formula, or essentially. I'll just go off the top of my head, but I believe it is linked into in with the report, our policy and the guidelines. But we have a floor amount of water that is non-negotiable in determining the rebate amount. And then from that amount there past that floor, you can have a scaling system up to 75% of that additional cost is given then as financial assistance. It's also dependent on you completing the declaration for our on the plumbing code that everything's been done to the correct standard, done by licensed plumbers, that there's going to be no repeat of this problem in accordance with the policy.
Thank you. Councillors, I just mentioned to the General Manager that in the future workshop, maybe it needs to be explained what our retail water customers are. It's a bit different than to a lot of constituent councils. There's a lot of rural, and so I think you'll see a lot of these water will be popping up, even though, as Councillor Cadwallader said, we're well within our budget this year, when sometimes we have run over it. But I think at a future workshop, that needs to be explained to councillors and made them aware of what this is. It's not, we don't only have our constituent council, we also have our own retail water.
When we run over budget, sorry, when we are under budget, does that go into a reserve for future years to go over budget, or does it just get written off the revenue in the year that it happens?
Correct.
Okay.
Now, I think one year when we were very close to going over, there was the payments were deferred to the next financial year. It was very good, like a month, just carried on over.
There is a set of guidelines on our website, so after a meeting, if councillors want, we can just issue a link to them so you can have a read and have a look through. The other part that is customers only have one chance. So if you've received that assistance once, it's not like you can go back every second month if there's another leak and things like that.
Any other speakers? Right of reply.
Thanks, Chair. Look, it's a good policy, this one. And basically it just gives that bit of a buffer if there has been an undetected leak for some time and the retail customers, which I think we have about 2,000 would that be right, GM, about 2,000 retail customers? And, of course, then we have our constituent councils, and they supplies them with the bulk water. So there's two separate arms to the business in that regard. But it's more a show of good faith, I think, this policy to say, you know, we understand the dilemma, wasn't your fault, and we want to offer some assistance. And I think most of the constituent councils have a similar policy as well. So, I think it's a good policy and terrific that we are under budget.
Thank you. I'll close the debate. Page 74, I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour? Page 75, Southern Cross University Rising Star Scholarship Program.
Happy to vote.
But Councillor Rob first. Councillor Rob?
Quickly, I think education is something we should really focus on for everyone, including councillors. I love it. I think spending money on education is never a waste of money. But Southern Cross Union, I think that's a good connect in partnership.
Question. Yes. Can I just get a little update on do we have any of the graduates within Rouse at the moment that we've supported or got anything coming through that this program has supported? And
so I'll cover off that. No, so the way that this program is set up, it's about providing that support with them at the university, but not with them coming back to the organisation or helping out. We do have a student working with us at the moment through the NIBS program, which is Sydney University, and they're here doing investigations in water quality and doing that as part of their thesis, I'm pretty sure. I don't have more credit yet, but their thesis in terms of those investigations. So that's very in-depth, detailed work. But this item is one that we do want to revisit in terms of how do we not just be able to provide that financial assistance, but be able to provide them on the ground practical experience and work with the organisation. It's just been one of those balancing acts with everything else we've got going on, but we have identified that as part of our draft workforce management plan to consider how best to do that into the future. Because there's a number of challenges in terms of them wanting to be able to finish their degree in a reasonable time, but also having the availability to be able to work a number of hours and things like that. So that's what we've identified as an area that we want to explore further.
That's music to my ears, because that's exactly where I'm coming from when I ask the question, how can we maximise trying to get people back through our system? It's one thing to support them, and it's another thing to support them in that work experience. So that's great.
I had a question, and perhaps lends itself to the same outcome. In paragraph 3 in the background, it talks about how recipients are invited to come to Rouse at the end of their studies. And I'm wondering if there might be more benefit in them actually coming at the beginning, because as an educator myself, I see young people kind of needing to know where they're heading, what's available. They have often a limited view around what kind of roles are possible, and that perhaps putting that at the beginning may help incentivise people to push their studies in that direction.
Yep. No, that's a valid
point. Councillor Bronte, question.
A comment. Speaking in favour of the motion. Further to Councillor Advice Excellent point, I wonder too if there's the opportunity for an internship during the course of their time at Southern Cross. It would seem to be a good link, because as Councillor Cadwallader said, when you invest in these sorts of programs, it's good to, if possible, get a return on your investment by bringing people through, if it's possible. Even in an internship would be great. Along with Councillor Rob and Cadwallader, I attended the water conference in Narrabri last week, and I think there was a recurring theme at that conference, and that is the critical shortage of professional people, particularly people with engineering experience in councils across the state. And we know how this is impacting on our constituent councils as well. So when it comes to jobs, it's about finding more people to put in the jobs. And you know, this is great. As Councillor Rob said, anything we can do to help is good. And it would, though, be good to see more links, I think, coming into the RAUS organisation as a result of this investment?
That's exactly what we're trying to look at, those options, from things like an internship to a cadetship, and those whole range of options. It can't just be from RAUS's perspective as well. It's also from the student's point of view and also with the university, because Southern Cross doesn't have a sandwich type of program with their engineering at the moment. I was fortunately went for UTS where there was a sandwich mode component. So all the issues that you've raised, I know very well personally, and I'm a big supporter of that.
Sorry, what's sandwich mode?
So sandwich mode was you did a number of years of study, then we had a six-month work placement that was paid as part of that. Then we did some further study, then we did another six worth of work placement, and then finished out a degree. What that did for a majority of the students, it was like 80-something percent, were actually full-time employed or part-time employed before they finished their degree, and had those practical skills and experiences when they were finishing their degree, working in the job market or progressing their careers. And it was quite an advantage compared to the traditional approach of not having that. Unfortunately, Southern Cross doesn't have that at the moment, but that's some of the conversations that we can have when we explore that as part of the workforce management program.
It's a double-decker sandwich.
Just a question through to the general manager. Do you think there's grant funding available to have extended work placements for students like that from Southern Cross?
I haven't seen any, to be honest, off the top of my head. They do come from time to time. They typically get targeted for certain skills deficiencies within the community through the federal government or sometimes the state government. But I can't recall any recently that would be supportive. But as part of this body of work, that's other things that we need to look at. Do we need to structure the program to be able to entice some additional funding and things like that? Or do we look at it, that's the payback that if we are providing some financial support for the student, that they continue to work for us for a number of years after they've finished their degree, for example. There's a number of different options that we have got on the table as ideas at the moment. It's about trying to work out what's best going to suit ourselves, the university, as well as students.
Support Councillor Bruin's earlier comments about shortage of staff. I said a JO the other day, Councillor Lyon were there, and from all the GMs, shortage of being able to find, whether it be town planners, right through to engineers, no matter what, in the local government sector, it's virtually impossible to find staff, and a lot of them are getting headhunted from other councils, so they're on a merry-go-round, half of them. Yeah. So, very hard, and anything we can do to try to alleviate that, I think it's a very good scholarship.
Just a question around the affirmative action provision. I presume it says there was a review of it and determined that it should continue to preference a new or continuing female student. So does that mean that the program has like a preference for women as part of its setup, and there was a review of that, which just said, is that what it's saying? And if so, what's the reasoning in this particular program for that?
So that was a request from the previous council to preference a female student.
Okay.
So we've just kept that as part of this. Again, that's consideration of this council. There is still that preference. Females are typically underrepresented in the engineering field compared to other fields and things like that. But that was a conversation that was had at that time. So that's a consideration of councils. We've just maintained that as part of the direction we've given last time.
Okay, thank you.
I'd just like to say, through the chair, I would definitely support continuing with that line, given the growth underrepresentation of women in that field and how many challenges they often do face. I think it's been important that we keep that front and centre in this program. And so I would support that continuing. I also have another question. Do we need to adjust the recommendation to include the issues that have been raised around exploring funding options or grants around education, as Councillor Rob raised, or changing the recipient coming to the council earlier, or are they things that staff can just take on board without?
I think it's that would be noted by the staff, yeah. And most probably a report will come back to council on it. Are you happy with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
And as we've said, it's also been identified as part of our draft workforce management plan, so which is a document that council will be considering going forward as well.
Thank you.
Any other speakers? Councillor Rob Wright, a reply. That motion and all those in favour? Carried. Councillors, we're now on page 76, information reports, and traditionally the council adopts all those recommendations, those reports under one motion. So could I
through the chair, I'd just like to say, can we just go through them, because the first one, the Fluoro Plan Dosing Performance Report, I don't think it's highly technical, this report.
Can I get a motion and we can talk a minute?
Well, if we pass them all at the way they are, I'm suggesting a change to point the first item.
So councils can pull out.
So you just want to pull that one out?
Can I pull that one out at this stage?
Yep. So could I get a motion then, please, for 2 through 7, if everyone's happy with that? But Councillor Humphreys first and Councillor Cadwallader second. So councillors, anyone got any they'd like to raise on that from 2 through 7 of that report? Well, I'll put that motion and all those in favour. And we are now discussing item 1, Fluoro Plan Dosing Performance Report. And Councillor Cadwallader will be moving that.
Not the way it is. I'd just like to speak to it. I'd like to say that we don't need this report to come to council, so that we cease to receive this report in its current form.
So could we get a...
The question, if we can all write it. Just looking at the first page, and the monthly 95th percentile results, about two-thirds of the way down in points 2 and 3 there. Results were within the code's target range of 0.9 to 1.5.
Yes.
And then in the next one, it says code results within the code's dosing range of 0.95. to 1.05, so they have two different ranges for the two different things, is that right?
And a typo, maybe?
I'm not sure.
No, that is correct. So they have the two different ranges, so essentially one is a total upper limit that you don't want to exceed, so you can't exceed the 1.5 or go to 0.9 at all, so if you do that, that's an affordable breach. We need to try and stay between 0.9 and 1.05. The two different ranges. So it is a very technical report. You're right there. Mm-hmm. It's like that one.
Can I ask a question?
Just a minute, we'll get the motion underway.
Fine. Can I speak to that now?
I need to get a second here.
All right, I need a second.
Could I have a second for that, please?
Second for the discussion.
Councillor Brown. Councillor Cadwallader.
Thank you, Chair. Look, we haven't always had this report about the dosing of the fluoride. What I've found is it's highly technical, highly operational. Certainly this council needs to know if there's a breach of the dosing. That has to be reported to council. But as far as reading a technical report, I don't know about other councillors, but I don't find we need this information at all. It's really at an operational level. And I'll just say that and keep it brief. But, certainly we need to know if there's been a breach in dosing practices. That's what we need to know about, but not this operation stuff.
Councillor Brown, seconder?
No? Yes, I did second it.
Did you want to speak?
Yes. Obviously, I'm new. It's the first time I've seen this. I've got no idea what it's saying. So I think, obviously, this is a crucial issue that councils need to be told about. Perhaps it could be presented in a different way so that it has more meaning.
There are no bridges.
So I'll just provide some background for councillors. Fluoride is just one item that we actually monitor and have online monitoring within the system. So we have a drinking water management system which aligns to the Australian Drinking Water Guidelines. So there is a number of elements throughout the system that we're constantly testing, comparing that, making sure that our water is safe to drink for our community. So we also publish an annual report on all the metrics that we have as part of that. And there's also, as the councillors who attended the conference recently, there's other things in terms of if there's an integrity issue in terms of communicating community with boil water alerts, etc. So there's a range of things. Fluoride is just one item of many that we monitor. However, again, this was just a legacy item from the previous council that wanted to see this in the business paper.
Question when you...
I think, Councillor Rob, did you have a question earlier?
I did. I was going to suggest that, as other councillors have said, I looked at this and pretty much didn't need to read past the conclusion. The rest of it was gibberish to me, but the conclusion I thought was important. And as Councillor Cavallo said, I'd like to maybe add a point too that when monitoring goes outside dosing targets, that it's reported back to council, and that's about it. So we know when there's a problem. So I wanted to know if that would be a better way for us. If you need a resolution on that, I'm saying that. Otherwise,
That's up to councillors. We do provide that information when we have those issues and things like that. I can think of an example where there were some issues recently at Ballina, and there was conversation with the Ballina representatives in there that was more localised and trying to work out if it was a RAS responsibility or a Ballina responsibility. So there's a lot of those things that happen, not just within drinking water, but across all facets of our business. So it's up to council if they would like it as a resolution or to just continue what we do at the moment.
In response to that, I'm hoping Councillor Cutler will take on an amendment that council provide information relating to monitoring that goes outside dosing targets when it occurs. So,
look, I'm happy to resolve that into the motion because that comes to us anyway.
Yeah, that will happen.
So anyway. That will happen as a matter of course.
In a recommendation, that's fine.
If you need that down there, that's okay.
Just to reduce our risk.
Councillor Gordon, I think did you have your hand up a minute?
I'm just going to say we've got 300 pages to read through.
Gee, that's be great.
You know, and seriously, especially at that level, at that level. I'm happy to read there. No, I'm happy to read in the sense that there's been no breaches or if there is a breach, an outcome.
Councillor Humphreys, I think
you're next. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will be supporting the amendment. I think it's important. I recall the opposition to the fluoride dosing, and I recall the number of representations made to council. So I do think it's important to still keep it on the agenda so people know that that it is that we're not breaching it and that everything is occurring the way it should.
So the amendment's incorporated in the motion now.
So I'm supporting the motion. Thank you.
Councillor Bruin, you had a hand up. You're right.
No, okay.
Councillor,
I'm just curious in terms of the constituent councils and whether you supply water to all of them fluoridated or not.
So no. So what happened was when fluoride was introduced in the system, each of the councils were then given the opportunity to pass a resolution if they would like fluoridated water or not. Three of the four councils have fluoridated water. Byron is excluded as part of that. So we've actually got a diverse system to be able to provide based on our pipelines, who gets it, who doesn't in terms of that. It's not the traditional approach would be to have the dosing at the plants, but to do that, everyone would have ended up with it. So the system was redesigned to cater for that.
Okay, and that was something that Byron was able to do with like obviously Rouse covers the entire area and your council covers that for Rouse residents, but you weren't able to overrule Byron, the other three councils. People can't just then say, well, sorry, you're getting it. Like that's not an option.
So it was put back to the individual councils.
Did you have to put it back to the individual councils?
That was the decision at the time that was made. So it was prior to my time being here, but it was a decision that was put to each of the individual councils. Pretty much as Councillor Humphrey said, it was an item that was a lot of debate within the community, so it was felt that was best handled within each of the customers.
I just wanted to get an idea of the legal situation. I personally, I agree with that decision and the way that that's been done to give each council area the opportunity. I just wanted to make sure if we bring more supplies online, for example, if we close the Weir, the Wilsons there, that we're not doing that, you know, without our knowledge of our community. So I'm satisfied with that.
And just follow up on that, the Lower River, which Valley does get Rouse water, but the casino source is our council, Richmond Valley Council, and it is fluoride, and we don't get a report like this every quarter. If it's a breach, we would be told, but there has never been. So.
Yeah.
Just for councils who are new to Rouse, there are very detailed service level agreements between Rouse and each of the constituent councils for a whole range of metrics for the various facets of the services that are provided. So that includes things of like water quality, handover points, all those types of things. So that's how we have those formalities handled behind the scenes of organisations.
Speakers? Councillor Cadwallader,
right of reply. I think it's all been said, Chair. Thank you.
Put that motion in. All those in favour? Carried. Councillors, we're now due to go into confidential matters. Councillors, would you entertain the bringing the notice of motion forward now? Can I get a move to change the
order of business?
Yep. Councillor Rob.
Speak to it, or we all know why. Just for the record, that we're going to change the order of business. So the item on the Dunoon Dam comes before a confidential session we're about to go into.
Correct.
So everyone watching can get on their way, I guess.
And we can finish on the confidential part of the meeting then. Oh, is there anyone to speak against it?
Oh, no, sorry.
So I'll put that motion in. All those in favour take the order of business. Carried. And we now are now on page 172 of the agenda. And we have a notice of motion there by Councillor Rob. Councillor Rob?
I'll reserve my right to speak on that.
We need you to move.
I'll move it, sorry. First.
And I have a seconder.
Yes.
And Councillor Cadwallader.
I'll reserve my right to speak.
And you. Have I got any. Councillor Cadwallader is a seconder. Would you like to speak?
I'll reserve my right to speak.
Okay, have I got any speakers on the issue, please?
Yeah, look, I'm happy to speak.
Yes.
For me, obviously, this is a first day and already, you know, we're brought with the most controversial issue on the very first day. And I'm grateful that over 70 years ago, people thought ahead and built the Rocky Creek Dam, and we've had the privilege of turning on the tap whenever we've needed to. But with just 2% of the potable water produced actually used for human consumption, we have a lot of other options that don't involve the Dunoon Dam. I can't imagine there was a thorough environmental study done at the time, let alone a cultural heritage study. We know better now than we did almost a century ago. With the projection of a 22% reduction in rainfall, do we have the time and energy spare to waste on continuing to explore an outdated, culturally insensitive, environmentally destructive, potentially unfeasible option that doesn't even meet the varied needs of our vast landscape and communities and locks us into options all dependent on rainfall. Absolutely paramount in this discussion is water security, and a diversity of sources delivers that and doesn't put all our eggs in one basket. We need intelligent solutions and likely more than one to help reduce consumption, harvest more rainwater, provide better access to underground sources, and explore the availability of products that are available now that can reduce the need to use so much of our precious potable water on gardening, farming, and agriculture. We need to be pouring our energy into solutions that are fit for purpose for the 21st century and beyond. Some have used their election campaigns to propagate quite a lot of fear around certain options. And if it came to reverse treatment or reuse, are we somehow better than people in London or Barcelona? And in fact, our people in Richmond Valley who seem to manage to drink it. It's been awarded, in fact, as the best water in Australia, and it's coming from the river. This issue isn't that we might be encouraged to reuse more water. The damning issue here is that we're flushing so much of our drinking water down the toilet, the sink, the drain. We can do better. From what I can see in the studies, we haven't even looked at some available technology and viable alternatives. In the pages of this agenda, you've also probably read through a document that represents years of consultation with our local Indigenous communities, most predominantly the Widjiwal Wyabal. In our Reconciliation Action Plan, it states, Rouse County Council's vision for a united nation ensures that we stand together with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples, and that we work as a county. All the work that as a county we do is to build on respect and understanding and a willingness to learn from each other. To do this, we must listen and learn the true past of Australia, the pain, strength and sadness, the innovation, the loss and the incredible resilience of an amazingly rich and diverse culture of traditional people of this continent. Do we want to add to that sadness? It talks first and foremost about listening. And I dare say none of us here in the room are not aware that the traditional owners have made their message very clear that this site and these burial grounds are sacred. They are a tangible link to tens of thousands of years of connection to country, connections to their ancestors, and they want no more studies. This sacred site cannot be flooded to make the dam small enough. If those sites aren't flooded, it's going to be too small to meet our future needs. The Reconciliation Action Plan goes on to say that Rouse conducts all business activities in accordance with its values of integrity, commitment, trust, social responsibility, and accountability. How on earth can we meet those critical obligations and agreements and continue to keep the dam on the table? No amount of money, as we heard earlier today, or anything else can replicate that connection to country, a connection recognised by our governments both at a state and federal level. Within the proposed footprint is a living, breathing asset to all of us, 28 hectares of subtropical rainforest, 6 hectares of warm, temperate forest storing our carbon, providing homes for millions of bugs, beetles, birds, koalas, platypus, lizard and other marsupials and mammals, some rare and endangered. There are rare ecological communities not replicated anywhere else in the world. There's 72 hectares of koala habitat under threat. The Dunoon koala population also proven to be genetically more robust when compared to populations elsewhere in Lismore, Ballina and Byron, and as such has much to offer these populations in terms of improving their overall fitness and resilience to disease. Just last week, new species of flora was discovered just up the road in the Gold Coast hinterland. This area is comparatively unexplored. Are we really going to flood it? Up to 6% of the last remaining big scrub would be inundated if the dam was built. And this is even before we talk about the money. The project listed $150 million on the website, $220 million in the business papers. And is that even taking into account the 40% increase we've seen in the cost of steel, concrete and labour in recent times? Does that include compensation? How much would you expect if the places that were sacred to you were flooded, if your ancestors were going to be decimated? What is the blowout going to be on a project like this, and who's going to be able to pay for it? I'm new here, I know that, but I know enough to know that the proposition before us is not right. Can't those of us, all just arrived in the room together for this term of council, at least take time to pause, to listen and learn before committing us to a no-win option? At the very least, can we have a strategic planning workshop and a report on the social, environmental and economic cost of the motion? It clearly infringes on a critical timeline. Let's not take a backward step. The dam was taken off the table for a myriad of well-considered reasons. Let's leave it there and look forward and get on the job of securing better water for our future.
Thank you. Other speakers? Councillor Bloom.
I'd like to first acknowledge those that turned out this morning to show us their feelings out the front and the speakers that we heard from. It was very hard. It is very hard to hear their arguments and not have great empathy and feel for their concerns. I think we all do. We absolutely do. But our job, I believe, as councillors, our legal responsibility is to go through established planning processes. The fact that the previous council did not do that was something that caused a great loss of public confidence and has been causing enormous division in our community, in my view. And I suspect it's only going to get worse. So this is going to be a real challenge. Again, going to Narrabri last week to the water conference, those of us who are new learned a lot about the importance of keeping every possible option alive and also not making a decision until planning processes are finished. I would say to those who are concerned about this motion today, don't despair. Have faith in the science, because if you trust the science, it will deliver the right outcome. I'd ask you to be patient and consider our legal responsibility to do things the way they should be done, step by step, and then to make an informed decision at the end. Yes, we hear a lot of comments from people opposed to the dam. Some of those people I know live in the area where it's built and have produced a lot of information. And I'm not downplaying it, but the actual planning process hasn't been done as this motion recommends, and that's what needs to happen now. Again, I would say to those who are opposed to the dam, be patient. Another interesting fact we heard last week at the conference was, to my mind, the Productivity Commission representative there, who expressed pretty much how state governments and federal governments, for that matter, it's now part of their role not to fund projects where there's concerns around Indigenous issues. So that, to me, says red lights everywhere. Have faith in that, people, I would say, who are opposed. But we have a job to do to take this through to its proper conclusion, and I think the community expects that. We are not pro-dam. Well, I certainly don't. I've never seen myself as a pro-dam person. I read in the Echo newspaper that I've been described as pro-dam. I'm not. I'm open-minded and I trust the science, and I would encourage others to do so.
Thank you. Any other speakers?
Just a question. I had a submission from an environment society, and they were talking about a cultural heritage impact assessment and an environmental impact assessment that were done in relation to the Dunedin Dam. Have those reports been made public?
So the cultural heritage report has not. There's a redacted version that's available, but the environmental has been made public.
Okay. And is there a reason that the cultural report had been redacted? Well, what's the reason?
There's elements. So the probably the best way to describe it is there's elements that were when the knowledge holders were involved in terms of the creation of that document, there was no permission to use that information in the public domain. We, from Rouse's point of view, would respect that that request.
But the key recommendations of the report, obviously, for all to see. The reports, the submission here is saying that the preliminary status has been misleadingly promulgated, was being unfinished, and hence studies need to be completed before the dam can be. So I think they're saying that and the reports were definitive, or at least, you know, inclusive, but meaningful, the probably the response.
So the initial report was only a proven report as part of a planning cycle. So, like I said, I wasn't
cultural one.
Correct. Yeah. Or many of those investigations were only ever preliminary in nature as a way of, do we consider going forward with this option as part of many long list options, or do we have other options available? So none of the, at that time, none of the options were investigated to a consistent level of technical understanding in terms of man management, groundwater, surface water in terms of the dam and things like that. So that was the process that was done, leading up to the creation of the 2014 future water investigations.
Would you just continue questions? If that's okay. Would you say though that the cultural heritage impact assessment, that there wouldn't need to be any more work done on that, or do you think that what was determined during that phase for that report would be sufficient as a final report on that option?
I'm not a technical person in that field. However, I've had on both sides of the argument not happy with that report. So regardless if you're in support of surface water or against, there has been a bit of a theme in terms of the conversations that I've had of the people come to me of not happy with the report.
Doesn't follow that people are unhappy with it, though, that the report doesn't stand as a report that's good enough.
Concerns with the technical viability of the report has been the issues that have been raised. Okay. Like I said, I'm not a technical expert in that.
So let's park that one. And the environmental impact assessment, would you say that would be still in draft or needing further follow-up if you were going to consider?
The legislation's completely changed since when that was originally created to the current legislation. So that has been why staff have been recommending that those investigations should be completed to allow a comparison between all options.
Okay, thank you very much.
Councillor, just through you, Mr. Chair, I think it's obvious to everyone sitting in this room today that there is an unredacted copy available. We've seen a speaker turn up today and he had an unredacted copy. He showed us.
We flick through the pages. It's unredacted. So it's out there. Do we get a copy as well?
So I can't control how that version has been released to, and again, I'm not even in a position to validate what version, because there was a bit of a change. Was it 2011, 2013?
2013, like that.
What we have done as management has been in terms of the commitment that was made during the development of that, which was that document had sensitive information. We are not the knowledge holders. So we're not in a position to determine what could or should not be released in the public domain in terms of that. So we've respected the views of the individuals that participated as part of that process.
Okay.
Just a question in relation to the timeline. Previously, staff have made it very clear that the 2024 deadline for some sort of decision to be made is quite critical to ensure water security into the future. How far back is re-including this likely to put us on that timeline?
So
you talk about a lot of reports there that are not finished and I imagine would take a substantial amount of time and money.
So all versions of future water in terms of its different views, so like that it's gone for a couple of different revisions, have always included a first stage, which is to address the 2024, which is groundwater. So that's been consistent throughout all the revisions. The differences have been what options do we look in terms of the longer term? So the plus 2030, 2040 type of horizon type of options. The way that notice of motion has been written is to continue those investigations in terms of additional groundwater, in terms of recycled water, but at the same time just include the surface water investigations as well. So this is not to drop all that. This is in parallel to those investigations. So all options are being considered to a level that's sufficient for council to make that longer term planning.
And a follow-up question, if that's okay. In relation to the budget allocation of 152,000, I think, given the reports that you mentioned there, I can't imagine those being able to be done within that budget. Is that a realistic estimate?
So I'll pass this over to Michael and Emma, who are part of the team.
Yeah, so thank you, Council, for that question. There's budgets that were previously identified for the matters of dealing with the the land issues associated with the former Dunoon Dam proposal. There's a number of years. So the aggregate of those number of years is probably sufficient for us to undertake that work. Again, there's a lot of revision of previous study work that has to be done. So it's a matter of distilling what additional information can be used for what information from those previous studies can be put forward. So at this stage, we're going to go away and actually do some further cost estimates. And if there is a change to the budget, we'll make that known.
And in relation to those ongoing relationships with the Widgeable Wyabal people, has any sort of provision been taken into consideration there about what that would cost the organisation in meeting its objectives through the RAP?
Not in terms of a financial costing. So probably the best way to describe it is that with any project, there's sensitivities. Obviously, this one is one that has a lot of sensitivities associated, but pipelines, we do a lot of different projects where there's a varying degree of sensitivity, not just with the Aboriginal community, but across our community in whole. What we do is we view that reconciliation is our commitment. It's a long-term commitment that we've been undertaking with a range of different projects, not just all based on one project. So, yes, there is times that there is conflict, but that's what we try to manage as best as possible, that these things, projects come and go, Rouse and reconciliation from our point of view is ongoing.
Thank you.
The other speakers?
Thank you. At the beginning of last term, I recall the General Manager saying that this would be, without a doubt, complex, challenging and sensitive. I remain supportive of the investigations into the Dunoon Dam. I've supported staff recommendations to Council and particularly the one acknowledging the 10,000 submissions who also wanted the investigations further into investigations into the dam. I appreciate and I understand communities in our constituent councils having different opinions on the provision of water for their own communities. However, Rouse is a regional water supply and therefore a regional approach and solution needs to be found. So I'll be supporting the motion as written.
Any other speakers?
Yeah.
Councillor Cadwallon, as seconder.
Thank you, Chair.
Sorry, are you wrapping up the speakers?
No.
It's not a right of
approval. The approval will close. Yeah, no, I'm not wrapping up.
Because I want to move an amendment.
Right.
Yes, look, I'd just like to say this issue is clearly a very important one for many people in the community. And I really want to acknowledge the deputations that were made here this morning. I really appreciate those. And as Councillor Broome said, it would be hard not to feel empathy for the speakers here today and with your speakers well, Councillor Nadine. Very well thought out response to this issue, which is of major importance to our community. Water's the lifeblood of our community. We can't do very much without it. We can't progress business which creates jobs. There's very little we can do without water. Our burgeoning population, we need a secure water supply. The unfortunate thing is with this whole issue is that it was taken off the table, the Dunoon Dam option. All options were not left on the table as they should have been, and due process should have been followed, which it wasn't. So that has set us back now to our 2024 deadline, and that's going to make it all the more difficult for Rouse to actually ensure an ongoing water supply without water restrictions. And that's what I find disappointing about this. We would have been so much further down the track now. So we have to get all those options back on the table. Due process has to be followed. And the Dunoon Dam may well come back that it's not viable. But let's find out. Let's go that, let's do it, what should have been done in the first place. And let's consult with everybody involved in this. The consultation's imperative. We need to work together for the best outcomes for our community. It has divided our community, but what's very clear to me that the community were very upset, the majority of the community were very upset that all options weren't left on the table as they should have been. So it's a shame that has happened, but let's move forward. Let's move forward in unity so that we can get the best outcome for our community.
Thank you. Councillor, you gave notice of an amendment?
Yes. I put it to staff earlier. Can I speak to that briefly now?
Yeah, can we just get it up so we can read it and then
So the amendment's there.
Happy to second if you need it at this point.
Okay.
Thank you, Councillor Lyon. Look, I understand, I guess, you know, councillors have made their positions very clear in this discussion. But in taking into consideration that the majority of us sitting at the table are new, that the motion before us, this is our first day. I'm actually meeting most of you for the first time. I haven't had a chance to request additional reports. You know, I'm not sure that we've been given, you know, we ask that the future water strategy does look at environmental, social and economic impacts. I would ask that when we're looking at reconsidering the dam, we also get a picture of what that actually looks like. So if we are going forward, re-including that we have a deeper understanding of that. So that would involve a strategic planning workshop that we're all able to attend, a little bit more time for consideration, and that this report be available at the next meeting. So I do understand that the majority of you are well in favour of putting it back on the table. I guess I'm pleading with you to at least allow us a bit of time to workshop this, have further discussions around it, and have the opportunity to ask more questions. Requests, for example, I've only been able to find a desktop study of the CSIRO report. I'm not sure at this point whether there is a more thorough report available. There's, you know, other impacts that I just don't think have been considered in that. We've got a single bottom line rather than a triple bottom line cost estimate in our papers, and I would like us to have a more fully developed estimate for us to go forward. Yeah, and I'm sorry, one more thing. Councillor Brewer also, you know, mentioned the 2011 report of the heritage is very clear in outlining, and that, as was mentioned at the conference, red lights everywhere. You know, I would like us to be able to consider that and those costs and the time implications in that broader picture before we make that decision. Thank you.
Does anyone want to speak?
I just had a question
to
Councillor Dee about her amendments. Those amendments that will happen while this happens as well. You're not suggesting there's any that the motion should be delayed until that after that.
I am suggesting.
Am I suggesting that?
Yes.
Okay. Perhaps that needs to be.
Yeah, my apologies. First time putting it was 11 o'clock.
I just wasn't sure what you meant.
Okay.
Thank you.
Foreshadow. My apologies.
We'll have to be foreshadowed because it's directly opposite.
I didn't consider it opposite in that it still encompasses the inclusion of the dam, but it just gives us more information about it. That's why I put it forward as an amendment rather than a foreshadow.
It's an opposite. It's not saying not to do it. It's saying that we will have a further meeting to discuss the item.
I don't think it's an opposite. I think they can work
Can it go in the amendment?
That's the option. You can merge them.
Yeah, I think
if they're not inconsistent.
Oh, if that's how you determine it.
You could, or you could have a separate motion which will effectively replace and defer that notice of motion.
It's not saying not to do it, it's saying not to make sure.
Can that amendment
You have to change that amendment. If you want to leave that as an amendment, the wording will just need to be slightly clearer that it's about not progressing with the notice of motion.
So that should be the number one.
Yeah, or have it as a foreshadowed motion.
I think you'd rather incorporate it as amendment, did you just said?
No, I'm saying that I would have to have a number one there saying that that we defer a decision on 12.1.
Yeah.
And then the others.
Point one. 12.1 doesn't exist if the amendment's voted on. So I don't think that needs to be put in there. So if it's going to be an amendment, that stands like that because it's a separate motion. And I believe that's the way it should be because 12.1 doesn't exist if you vote on this first and it gets up.
Because it's replacing the whole.
That's what I'm saying. It's replacing the whole thing.
It's replacing the whole thing. So, yeah, but you could do it that way as well.
An amendment.
Leave it as it is, and then if that's successful, it replaces all of 12.1. Yeah,
it becomes a motion.
Yeah.
So you happy with that?
And I'll speak against that. Oh, sorry, Andrew.
Councillor. Just in my opinion, it has to be foreshadowed. We've heard the content of the words themselves and the intention. The intention is to replace the motion. So therefore, it's diametrically opposed. It's a foreshadowed motion, surely. It's diametrically opposed.
It I think they've just come to that conclusion.
That all right. So we have now got, instead of being an amendment, amendment's been withdrawn, it's going to be a foreshadowed motion.
That's the clue.
Yeah, that's fine.
There's notice of a foreshadowed motion.
Just when you're ready, up there.
Councillor Robb also wanted to.
Councillor Robb, did you want to speak?
Right or reply?
No, this rule, you reserve your right to speak, so you can speak it.
Yeah, no, I'm happy because we're doing 12.1, aren't we? Because that's foreshadowed.
Foreshadowed, yeah.
So we're doing 12.1. So
back to 12.1.
But
I'm happy to speak as in reply after everyone's finished.
Okay, and then you can have a closer close later. Okay.
Can I ask the question?
I have got, he'd like to speak first, and then you can.
Also, he's not speaking
his
right.
To close the debate.
No, no, I want to speak in reply at the end.
He only wants to
you just right want to close when you speak. Okay. Yeah. Question.
It's just in relation to the Vaxxer report. There was another submission relating to that supply, what the terms of reference were for that report. Is that correct?
So,
I missed that question.
Sorry, just the Vaxxer report in terms of the public submissions that was done to consider those and compile them, presumably.
Yeah.
The terms of reference for that Vaxxer report, was there a terms of reference given?
So to support council's decision-making process, we sought an independent process for a Vaxxer who was engaged to compile all of the submissions. Their brief was essentially to undertake an independent process directed by the councils at the time to compile information for them to be informed of how submissions were received and the nature and the content of those submissions. That was essentially the brief to Vaxxer. In the first lot of consultation, there was an upper fee limit applied. Councils had an opportunity to ask Vaxxer specific questions in how the information was compiled and to provide metrics in relation to what the data was representing. In the second lot of consultation, that was further expanded again to allow councils to be clearer shown what that information. There has been requests for that to be released. What we've said is the proper process for that information in relation to the engagement of that organisation is to go through the formal GIPA process, which has not occurred. Does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you.
Sorry, I've got a follow-up question. In relation to that, I think the concern that was raised was that whole petitions were considered one submission opposed to the number that were of people that were engaged as part of that submission.
So there has been concerns around use of language in relation. We've taken that feedback on. First of all, just reiterate, petitions, the information that was provided in the consultation is not for staff. It is for councils to make the decision. So what our pre-existing submission guidelines was, the way in which information was to be received, we've just gone to efforts to update that information. We receive petitions. What we've said is that when petitions are received, that we will denote the number of respondents to that position and not necessarily call them a submission. So that's the process that we're going to moving forward. So there has been criticism that we shouldn't refer to petitions as submissions. We should refer to them as respondents to a submission. Does Does that clarify that concern?
Yes, so in future, people who want to have their voice heard need to do it in an individual submission to make it.
We will accept all feedback. We're agnostic to how feedback will be received. What we've said is that we'll provide the nature of the feedback that we received and how it's been received, so councils are clear on what the feedback from the community has been provided so they can make informed decisions. And hence, that was why we went through an individual process with VAXA, so that they provided all of that information. We just distilled what VAXA, in the report that we provided to council, we just gave a high-level summary and responded to council's individual questions about natures of things like what organisations provided submissions, and that's where we provide additional information. So that was essentially that process.
Thank you.
Any other councillors? Councillors, just before Council Rob closes, I have been silent on this, but it would not come at any surprise to anyone that I'll be supporting this notice of motion. During the last term, Councillor Humphreys, Cadwallader and myself have been very solid on this. We believe that every option should be on the table. And I will be supporting today in the public access. Was referred that in 2007 that I, as chair then, I was very supportive of water tanks, and I still am. But it's quite clear the water tanks will not solve our water strategy into the future. So we need to look beyond those, but I do look at water usage of water tanks, especially with basic support that in. So before my time on Everyone Rouse in the early 2000s, it was a severe drought, and the only thing that saved the region was an emergency water source brought in from Howard Grass called the Lismore Source. That was upgraded later to a full-time one. We were told many years ago that 2024 was the time where demand could outstrip supply. And back in 2008, that seemed a long, long way away. Now, at 2022, it's not. We can't afford to stall any longer with this investigations. As been said by other speakers, we are not talking today about building a dam. We are looking at options for all different water sources for our region, and they have to be run in parallel. So I will be supporting the notice of motion. Any other speakers? Councillor Rob Close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'll listen to all the councillors speak, and I'll hopefully don't go over some of the things that have been said. So time is one that I've heard, but we don't have time. This has been going on for decades. The 2011 report was mentioned, and there was some clear indications in there. But that report was then peer-reviewed, and suggestions were made that resulted in the 2013 report, which is still incomplete. So the report's lacking in many respects from both sides, have said that. I circulated an email, I think, overnight relating to the experts that have been relied on, Professor White, Stuart White, for example. His position was cost, and when I made inquiries with Professor White, he finally agreed that, yes, the dam should be considered. So if you take the cost out of it, then his position, all options on the table, the dam must be considered because that is one of the options. And I'll come back to Professor Khan in a minute, but in relation to all the options, some of them are interim options. For example, the groundwater is always going to be used to get us going until we can get to a more reliable and permanent source. So the permanent source is part of that petition was not about saying no to everything else. It was about saying no to them as a permanent source because we need more than one source. No one here that I believe is saying we can only have one source. We need two, possibly three of those four big options. Meanwhile, still decreasing, encouraging everyone to decrease use of water and increase use of tanks. So we're not saying let's not use tanks and all that sort of thing. And anything else we can find, like, you know, finding leaks and plugging those and all those sort of things. These are all part of a master plan to address water security. So as for the cultural heritage, Councillor NJ, hopefully I pronounced that right, you mentioned not thorough report. That's why this motion comes back to light, because it wants a thorough report, and we need a new, fresh, clean report. So ignoring the past report, get the traditional custodians involved heavily and we'll get it right, and then that way we can make an informed decision when that's finished. And all this is doing is getting a report done. And I believe
You know, there was a lot spoken about the environmental impact of this that we don't know about that. My understanding is there's been about 6 koalas located out in the area, in the immediate vicinity. You know, we need to know about that as well, how many other animals may be impacted. I understand the environmental impact statement, a thorough one, won't come until after the cultural heritage assessment. So we decide if we proceed first or want to proceed, then we go into the very expensive and very thorough environmental impact statement. And I believe the general manager could probably confirm or deny that. So we need various sources. As for Professor Stuart Kahn, he was heavy on the recycled, and Councillor Broom and I were down there with Councillor Cadwallader at the Water Management Conference, and he spoke there. He was a speaker there, and I listened intently, and he said dams. Like, he was talking about dams, and I'm going, oh, great. I'm going to pull him up and pull him aside, and I did. And I sent that email about, and I said, so are you telling me just recycled water? And he said, oh, yeah, it's a secondary source. I said, that's right, secondary to something else. So you can't have recycled water without a permanent primary source. So in this situation, it could be the dam and it could be groundwater, I guess, but we need some water coming in so we can put it into our toilets and then reuse it. We can't recycle without a first source. And as for the only one that's rain independent is desalination, and that's going to cost a lot more than any of the other options. So, and that's going to be in Byron Bay. It's going to be in your environmental area. You're going to pump water into the marine park. That's never going to get up in Byron Bay. It's going to be protest catastrophe. So we have a problem with desal, the only independent water and rain independent source. We need to look at 2 or 3 of the other 4 sources, and I believe we're going to use all 3 of the others, including recycle, whether that's direct or indirect potable water, or if it's just, you know, doing gardening only. But everything, and we need to get on our systems and plug holes and reduce use and increase use of tanks and all that sort of thing. So as for listening to everyone, I go back to NTS call. I've read their letter of June 2021, and they did ask the applicant requests that no decisions are made by RCC in relation to the Dunoon Dam project area. But they go on to say, including any decisions about the disposal of the land or determining whether or not the project should proceed. Now, without proper consultation with the Widgeable Wobble people. And we have not done that, and we need to do that. And we can't do it. And I saw the foreshadowed motion up there wanting to do strategic planning workshops and environmental studies. We can't do that either, because the IPNR framework needs us to put it into the system so we can allocate funds to it. So this is why there's still funds sitting there, because that was put in last year before it was taken off, and we're using those funds that are still in there. We're not adding extra funds. So that's where that money's coming from. The next paragraph of what was asked from NTS Corps says the applicant also requests that RCC commission a qualified archaeologist to prepare an Aboriginal cultural heritage assessment for the project area. Further, RCC is to use a best practice approach or consultation with Widgeable Wobble people. This motion does that. So we can allocate a qualified archaeologist to prepare it, proper report, thorough. It's going to probably take 2 years, I understand. So we won't have to think about this for 2 years. And I'm telling you now, I'll be the first one to oppose a dam at Dunoon if they say there's something there that cannot be addressed with the Widgeable Wobble people. I'll be leading that charge as well. So I'm not here to build a dam. I'm here to finish the studies, and I want to make an informed decision. And again, Councillor Broom reminded me when we were down at Narrabri, and also his comments about established planning processes. That's what I was just talking about. That's an established process. You have to follow to fund things. But down there, and I think Councillor Broom will remember, and Councillor Cadwell, they kept saying, catch it when you can. They're talking about the water and the good times. There was an image of a guy sitting on a beach somewhere sunbaking in good times, right? These are our good times. We got rain. We just had heaps of rain. Again, we could have filled that dam. In December 2020, we had that flash flood in Lismore. That would have almost half filled a 50-gig dam, and the next 3 or 4 months would have filled it. So there's plenty of water. And this whole, environmental issues about climate change. I just forget the term keep changing. So climate change, yes, we're going to have longer dry periods. But if the dam can't fill, your tanks aren't going to fill, groundwater's not going to replenish, we're going to have nothing in recycle because there's nothing coming in to come back for the second use at it. So we need options. And if a dam is the most viable option, I'm going to support it if there's no damage that can be addressed with cultural issues. I'm very sensitive to those as well. I'm not here to destroy anything like that. But I think without the information, we can't make a decision. We're leaders of the community for a region. I mean, I guess we're from Lismore, but this is a regional issue. This addresses all 4 councils. So we can't make it for our personal councils. We've got to do it for the whole region, and the region needs water, every single one. So Richmond Valley has got issues west of Corakai. Ballina has got issues down at, I always forget, Where is it? Wardell. I always think Woodburn. I don't know because I used to go there all the time. So Lismore's got problems at Nimbin. We're boiling water in Nimbin, and then Byron Bay's got problems at Mullumbimby. You've got no water there. So everywhere needs all these connected. Yeah, sorry, and I'm just getting the time out single.
I'll leave it there. I'm trying to do it discreetly.
I wasn't going to talk for long, but I've got pretty passionate on that. So I hope all councillors support this motion because it's just to complete the study and make an informed decision. Thank you.
Thank you. That closes the debate. I will now put the motion. All those in favour of the motion?
Sorry, I just need to ask a question. We usually put up a shadowed motion up first and then...
No, you can amend it first.
Only if this fails. Yeah, sorry.
All those in favour, that gives us a 6-2. Against?
Thank you.
Two. Motion is carried, so there will not be a full shadow.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah. The councillors, now go into. Does anybody need a little break before we go into close committee?
Yes, thank you. Dan, I couldn't believe
I made a jump. That's only half past.
Can I just get a quick motion? This has been standing orders for 10 minutes. Okay. Councillor Humphries and Councillor.
10 minutes, yes.
Put that motion, all those in favour. Thank you. Now I need a motion, councillors, to go into closed committee. Councillor Ted Wallener and Councillor Humphries. The items we'll be discussing in closed committee is retail water customer assistance, and also
item one, which was request for financial assistance under the retail water customer account assistance policy. The recommendation was that council, in accordance with section 582 of the Local Government Act 1993 and its retail water customer account assistance policy, approve financial assistance as listed in Table 1 of the report, subject to receipt of a valid water use audit report. And item number 2, which was the proposed sale of Duck Creek retail property. The recommendation is that, 1, council note the information provided in the council report, including the attached Acumentus valuation report dated the 2nd of November 2021. 2, authorise the group manager planning and delivery to A, enter into direct negotiations for the sale of Your Albert Road, Lynnwood, New South Wales, Roxner Highway, Austinville, New South Wales, being the whole of the land contained within lot and DP 1/927733 and 1/123653 and the property, and B, accept the offer of the purchase of the property provided the minimum conditions of the sale set out in the council report can be satisfied. And item 3, authorise the general manager and chair to sign the contract of sale and purchase and any other necessary documentations under seals to effect the sale and transfer of the property.
Thank you. And councillors, that closes the meeting. I declare it closed. And thank you for your attendance. And everyone have a safe trip home, please.
Thank you very much.